Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between their imagination, intention setting, manifestation, and the like. So if those topics are of interest to you, if you're interested in archetypal psychology, figuring out the stories that you're telling, why you're telling the story that well, way, and how you could tell it differently, you're definitely in the right place. I encourage you to share your shiny, pretty picture with Inner Voice so we know that you're listening to the show and can give you follow-ups on guests that will be upcoming. I also encourage you to check us out on the Intuitive Light community. We do a show through there. I'm lucky enough to work with three other wonderful hosts doing a show through there that airs on at 3 o'clock on Sundays. And that's a great one where we each do a show once a week and then all get together and do a show where all four of us discuss a topic. So I encourage you to check out our online community there as well, the Intuitive Light community. So I want to tell you what's coming up on Inner Voice in the very near future. On June 25th, I will have William O'Meara on. He will be discussing prosperity and law of attraction issues and talking about the books that he's written, and I'm really excited to have him on the show. And then on July 2nd, I will have Belle Salisbury on. Belle Salisbury does a wonderful magazine called Bel Esprit. It's an online magazine that covers all sorts of topics of metaphysical topics. So I'm really looking forward to having her on the show. You can check out her show on Hazy Radio as well, called Bel Esprit. And with no further ado, I want to introduce our guest this evening. Tonight, I'm really excited to have Rick DiClemente on. Rick just wrote a book called The Exquisite Zodiac, and I'm really excited to have him talk to us about that. Are you there, Rick?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. So thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be on Inner Voice and for sharing your wisdom and your experience with us.
Well, I'm excited to be here, and when you said the world archetype, my ears perked up, so I think I'm in the right bargain.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, great. Glad to hear it. The first thing I always ask, Rick, when people are on this show is, this is a little off the beaten path, you know, being a professional astrologer. Not everyone in the universe has this kind of a calling. So I just wonder how that journey arose for you and how you accepted that calling and found that vocation.
Well, that's a really good question. I write about it in the book. Actually, I had my chart read by somebody in 1971, and I wasn't real comfortable with what she said. And when you're with an astrologer, they have all the power. You're in their hands. You can't debate with them. They see what they see. And I felt kind of uneasy. And then 7 years later in 1978, which was, I was just in a bookstore, and literally, I don't know if a book jumped off the shelf into my hands or whether I picked it up, but it was that flabbergasting of a moment. It was just, it was in a beginning astrology book called The Complete Astrologer, and it just said to me, this is what you're supposed to do. And it was just shocking because I've never had a moment like that before. I'm sure it was during a Uranus transit, and I started digging and digging and got very neutral and objective and just wanted to see charts for myself, and I eventually saw why this woman said what she said, but I realized that she was not that experienced, especially with talking to clients. So I haven't stopped since. And since 81, I just became professional. And you are right. There are very, very few people do astrology. I have a lot of students who use it with their psychological practice or whatever. It's a very good basis. But it really takes a special kind of combination in your chart to make you put up with the technical details and the confusing circles, and in the old days you had to do it all by hand. So you're rewarded because every single chart you do is just so accurate, and if you kind of like solving puzzles, it's for you, you know.
Yeah, I can definitely vouch for that. I tried to learn to do astrology years ago myself and really learned a lot about the glyphs and what was fixed and what was mutable. But when it came to the mathematical part of it, I just couldn't do it. So
you don't have to do much of the math anymore, unfortunately, because it's done by the computer, and most of my students won't do the math, and that is unfortunate. Because you need to have a math background at least to understand what the chart's doing. I can look at a chart and tell if it's wrong, for example, and if you're using the computer, you just trust it. But anyhow, there are, you know, it's a very, very hard science to interpret. It's very difficult to do, and I'm just very lucky and blessed, and I love what I do.
That's awesome. And so you teach classes, you teach other people how to do astrology as well, I heard you say.
Well, I'm done with that. After 30 years, I've taught for years and years and years, and I am going to be putting a beginning course on YouTube for free very soon. I'm doing all the testing now. My new book is a very good basis for it, but I'm going to put a general basic class together. I'm not going to go into tremendous detail. Like I do with my live classes, because students need to work. They need to research. They need to read. They need to work. And if I do it all for them, they don't learn. So I'm going to be doing the basics, and I'm looking forward to that on my channel on YouTube.
Awesome. Tell us about your channel on YouTube. I know you just started it. I just subscribed to it, Rick. Can you talk a little bit about what that journey was like? And yeah.
Well, it's really interesting because I've had the equipment for about a year and a half, and I was a filmmaker for 10 years. So I couldn't figure out why for a year and a half I couldn't get started on YouTube. I had so much to say, and here I found out that 28 years later, Saturn returns from where it starts, no matter whether it's a marriage or a house or an event. When Saturn returns to its original spot, it's the end of a chapter, beginning of a new one. And here, just in the past month, is when I started my YouTube channel. It was 28 years almost exactly to the day when I made my last movie. So I knew how to edit film. I made movies, but I didn't know how to edit video. So that's what the holdup was. And ever since I did that, I've been lucky enough to chop up about 11 different pieces from a recent lecture with my girl and I, my partner. And we put 11 pieces of rather up-to-date current events with astrology on YouTube, which is just under my name.
Okay.
That's how you find the channel.
Very cool. Okay. And I know that you just wrote a book called Explicit Astrology. Can you talk about that? And how long did it take you to write it?
It's Exquisite Zodiac.
I'm sorry. I know. I keep saying this wrong. I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. Everybody keeps saying it. That's all right. It gives me extra advertising. Exquisite Zodiac. There's a reason for it, too. It was in my mind for about 35 years. I was growing and growing this theory. And then we started writing in 2009, and I more or less dumped it out on paper, and then over the next 3 years, we reorganized it, and Liza helped me reshape it and go over every other word. And the reason I'm excited about the book is the word you used before, archetype, because it's not a sun sign book, and people are brainwashed with this sun sign stuff. I'm a Sagittarian. I'm a Virgo. I'm a Gemini. This is not what this book is, because people in America, we are so glued to our sun sign, and that's really, really unfortunate. You're so much more than your sun sign. You could be a Virgo and have a bunch of planets in Leo. You could be a Sag and have a lot of planets in Aries. Well, that's common. People don't know it. So this book is about the signs themselves. So if you get offended by something you read, it's not intentional, because we paint the positive and the dark side of each energy, each archetype. And as you know, Taurus has its own archetypal foundation, Gemini does, And what I mean by archetype is it has its own pure essence. So when I'm talking to a Scorpio, I can see what is really Scorpionic with what they're saying, and I can also sense Libra in them, I can sense Pisces in them, etc. So you may not be the greatest astrologer, but you're the kind of person you could learn very, very fast because you have such a foundation with the archetypes. What I have to teach you is the mechanics of how the planets move.
Right, right. I love the fact that you're talking about this idea that, you know, we're so stuck on sun signs. I think that we're reinforced by popular culture to just talk about sun signs at the expense of all the other signs, you know, where Mercury is in the chart, where the moon is, all of these other things, which, like you're saying, have a stronger impact based on the whole composite energy.
A lot of people are getting paid a lot of money to write horoscopes, and they're being very general because each sign you talk about 8.5% of the population. 1/12 of the population is 8.5%. So when I talk about Virgo, you can do a horoscope. You can do a general reading for a whole sign, but you got to really be able to zoom out and really talk at the archetypal level. See, what people don't understand is they think that astrology is concrete. You know, you're going to win the lotto next week. You're going to get fired. You're going to get improved. You're going to gain weight. You're going to lose weight. It's not what astrology is. You have free will. What astrology is how the archetypes are going to ebb and flow. It's up to you to ride those energies. And, Jennifer, the best way to tell anybody about an archetype is when they say to each other, "What got into you last night? What came over Charlie this past week?" That's the archetypes coming right from the source. That's what that is, and that's what an astrologer can map out.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the aspects that are coming up right now, and what you can tell us about that. What is going on right now in 2013, in June, right now with us, and what we may be feeling based on some of this energy?
Well, I just did a lot of talking about that. I write a lot of articles. I'm going to point people to my website, which is starself.com, like the word yourself or myself, but it's starself.com, and there is a button that takes you to the archives where there are 87 different articles about these different subjects because there's so much happening, explains in detail. In general, we're going through a very heavy purging time where Pluto and Uranus are in a position since 08 where we're becoming held responsible for all that we have done for so many years, and we've gotten very used to shoving things under the carpet. And these planets are holding our nose to the fire, and look what it's done to Wall Street, look what it's done to Detroit, look what it's done to government. And what Pluto is doing, Pluto is showing any corruption that we have, any lack of integrity. And on the flip side, it's taking people with integrity and fostering them. So it's exposing all our dirty laundry, and this is why we're reinventing everything. Everything's being questioned. The United States went through a tremendous identity crisis that won't be over for several more years. And while that's going on, that's very, very involved, and I talk a lot about it on my videos that are on YouTube. While that heavy time is kind of scary, we've got the opposite happening, like a seesaw. We've got this wonderful new spiritual energy entering the Earth sphere in the past couple of years, and everybody and their sisters wants to be a light worker. Everybody's becoming massage therapist, every other person you know is a Reiki master. People are just heeding the call, and in shows like yours. So we got this seesaw going. The one is battling against Earth's decay, battling against the big powers, that big pharma and the big energy money machine. And on the other hand, you have this fresh, new, rebellious energy, this rebirth, and this spiritual enlivening. That's what's
yeah.
going on.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling that swinging for sure. I mean, definitely, you know, moving back and forth between kind of the wounds.
In my current newsletter on my website, if you push the button current newsletter, it explains visually why these planets are coming up. They're peaking every 3 months, then they subside, then they come up again, and why these issues keep reoccurring since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
2008 was the beginning of a really strong time of you've got to pay your dues. You've got to pay for what you have purchased. You can't slide anymore like you could before. This document shows you why, shows you the dates it's going to peak and the dates it's going to subside.
Is there a way, Rick, that we can amplify the more evolved energies and move through more quickly or with more ease the more difficult or wounding energies?
Boy, that's a great question. I don't even know how to address that.
Okay.
I think my best answer for that is you know, maybe it's old-fashioned, but we don't realize how powerful prayer is. We don't realize
yeah.
how powerful we send out positive thoughts to somebody. We don't realize
mm-hmm.
when we send a negative thought how powerful it is. So I think, yeah, we can expedite a lot of things by taking more responsibility for the thoughts in our own chapel,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Awesome, like they having more awareness and, yeah,
yeah.
that's awesome.
Uh-huh. Shows like
cool.
yours.
So let me ask you, can we just kind of run down the different planets and just talk a little bit about the different astrological influences and what they rule or what they govern?
Yeah, I think that's good for the end user. In your birth chart, the sun is what you know is your sun sign, and it's so much a part of you, it's hard to talk about. It's your real source. But your moon sign is next, and your moon is... when you're born, your moon could be in any one of the 12 signs because it changes every 28 hours. So your moon representing your emotions, among other things. If it's in a fiery sign like Aries, it could be some fiery emotions. If it's in a sign like Cancer, you
That's
can be
mine.
Very Cancer, very deeply emotional. Okay, well that's why you're on the radio. What's your sun sign?
Leo.
Okay. Well, the moon is very, very important, and it's really important in synastry charts, comparing two charts.
Mm-hmm.
The Mercury talks about the kind of mind that you have, the way your mind works. The Venus and Mars are very important personal planets that have a lot to do with your sexuality and your taste. Venus being your yin and Mars being your yang.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, males and females, both have it. So the Venus is how you like art, how you like music, how you like to be treated, how you like to dress, how receptive you are. The Mars is how you go. What's your macho side like? What's your testosterone like? Do you want something, do you dilly-dally, or do you go out and get it? Now, the further out you go with the planets, the more intense they become and the less personal. So you go to Jupiter next. Jupiter's very overrated. Everybody thinks Jupiter is this wonderful guy that never makes any mistakes. He's a good luck planet. Well, there's a whole lot more to Jupiter than that. Jupiter.
Talk about that.
Jupiter really is about, Jennifer, how do you go forward? Do you go forward one step at a time? Do you go forward two steps and back up? Do you just dive right in? Do you have everything planned? So the Jupiter tells you a lot. You see, there's so much in a chart beside your sun sign. So I could tell a lot about Jupiter. If I invite you to a party and your Jupiter's in Aries, you go, heck, I'll be there. I'm bringing all my friends. And if your Jupiter's in Taurus, or Capricorn, well, what time's the party? And what time's it over, you see? Then your Saturn placement is really important because it's the planet that holds you together. It's the supreme planet. For years it was the boss because the eyeball cannot see any planets beyond Saturn. So we always considered it the most distant and the elder statesman surrounded by an ice ring. So Saturn has a lot to do with your discipline, how you deal with authority, how you keep it together, whether you can keep it together, are you too uptight? Then you get into the big mamas, the outer three. Uranus is a massive, these planets start affecting the collective, like Uranus is right now. Uranus is the energy that wants to be inventive, like Edison, and radically change stuff, like what Jimi Hendrix did in the late 60s. He just got on stage with a guitar, and suddenly music was never the same. That's a Uranian energy, very sudden, like a lightning bolt. Then you got Neptune, who's on us very strongly now, and I think that's the biggest problem the U.S. is having now, is because Neptune is right on Obama's sun right now. And any planet that's on your leader's sun, whether he's the leader of your corporation or the leader of the family or the leader of the country, it affects the entire body, the whole country. And Neptune causes uncertainty. And the reason we're having uncertainty in this country is very simple, because we are spiritually deficient. That's why. We're going through a spiritual crisis. You can talk all you want about the economy, but we're going through a spiritual crisis, which means when I strip you naked, how do you stand before God, whatever you want to call God? Are you really in a real relationship with this God, or is it all books? Is it all words? So that's what's happening, and that's why you're seeing a lot of the churches and religions crumble now, because people want the real experience.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, and then you got the big mama, which is Pluto. And Pluto, even though it was categorized as a non-planet in 2006, Pluto is the big planet that causes Earth shifts, causes tidal waves, causes Holocaust, causes Pearl Harbor. It also causes wonderful changes to the psyche, to the massive psyche, the collective. It's the underworld, and it's the one that keeps you very busy studying the subconscious. So those are the bases of your 10 planets.
I just love hearing you talk about it, the way you talk about the different planets, especially the part that you talk about the masculine and the feminine with Venus and Mars. And I just you just speak about it, well, exquisitely.
Thank you. The main thing about the book is about the signs, not the planets. The book is about the 12 signs of the zodiac. And when you study them, you start to see that they're exquisitely commingled, and thus the title.
Can you explain a little bit about the difference? Because that's where I always get confused, the difference between the planets and the signs and how they are commingled.
Right. Every sign, every planet that you have, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, etc., is in a sign, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. It's also in a house, which has got to do with the mathematics of a chart, houses 1 through 12. And it probably makes aspects or geometrical angles to one another or other planets.
Right.
So every planet you got, that's 10 planets that are in any one of the 12 signs, any one of the 12 houses, and they make oppositions to other planets. They're at a right angle to other planets. That's your basic chart right there. And everything comes from that. I'm looking at my screen right now with where the planets are at this moment, and it describes the energy at this moment. So the basic thing in the book, I'll make it short. When I wrote the book, I tried to come up with 6 major reasons why each sign was different from the other. It's not these 6, but I found 6. And I really came down with 2 reasons, and that's the heart of the book. One is the Aries, or first sign of the zodiac, is symbolic of the infant. It doesn't mean Aries people are babies. It doesn't mean they're immature. But their nature is very childlike. Like when you look at Ashley Judd, look at her. She's got this beautiful face, but you look at that little grin, it's a very childlike face.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay? And you see it in what's the girl's name, the race car driver?
The famous, I'm not sure.
NASCAR.
I'm not sure.
NASCAR driver? Well, you see,
I'm not sure.
Aries people have this very young face, and they have very youthful appetites. And then as you go through the zodiac, the soul symbolically grows up. And the elder signs, like Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, are symbolic of the old man emeritus. That's why you see a baby sometimes, and they look very old. Because they got a lot of Capricorn and Pisces in them. Well, it doesn't mean one's better than the other, but that's one of the main things in the book, is we show how one sign, you've got the baby, then you have the infant, then you have the toddler, then you have the preteen, and then you have the teen, and it goes through all these stages. The next thing that's really critical is that each sign outgrows itself. So when you're a Cancer and you're when you're a Cancer and you're being a Cancer, you're going to do what Cancers do, and that's what the archetype describes. But after a while, you can't keep doing it anymore, and boom, out comes a Leo. And a Leo is a direct result of what you couldn't do anymore in Cancer. And the book shows how all 12 signs are interconnected. So that's where you get the exquisiteness.
Awesome.
If I can be so brief.
Oh, yeah.
You said that you're a Leo, right?
Yeah,
well,
I'm a Leo.
The main energies about Leo is you're trying to overcome what happened at the Cancer stage. And in Cancers are very delicate and they're very sensitive. And that's because they're opening their heart to emotions for the first time. And that's a very big stage. But they like to go, the crab likes to go crawl under that rock.
Safety.
Well, the Leo comes out and says, I'm not hiding under anybody's rock anymore. This is my jungle.
Right.
And so the Cancer evolves to the next stage of Leo. And Leo, you're all this stuff about the limelight and all that. You see, this book clears up all these misconceptions. Leo's about getting attention, but it's because they gain confidence. The Cancer's coming out of his shell. He's coming out into the public, and he's not sure of himself. That's why he's the stage of the teenager. And just like a teenager, they want to be verified. Yeah, Johnny, you did a good thing. You know, and they act cocky like it's no big deal. But Leo is all about respect. It's all about respect. Without respect, they die.
Right.
But the problem with Leo is you got the good Leo and the bad Leo. The one is a bottomless pit. No matter how much attention they get, it never satisfies. And then the good Leo learns from it. And then after a while, that gets old, and the Virgo comes out. And the Virgo can't stand attention. The Virgo wants to be in the background. They can't stand in the foreground.
Yeah.
So that's how they all connect. They all connect.
Fascinating. Huh. Well, Go ahead. Are there certain signs that are less prone to evolving? Like, because I really relate to what you're saying about, you know, like a less mature version of your sign and then a more matured version of your sign. I can definitely point to that in my own experience. But are there some that are less inclined to want to evolve? Go on.
You go ahead with your question.
Oh, just that. Are there some that are less inclined to want to evolve or do it more unconsciously?
It's not that they want to evolve less. It's just that some signs are very embryonic. Aries, Taurus, Gemini. My girlfriend put it so beautifully when we were writing that Aries is a perfect first sign of the zodiac. It's the perfect example of fire. I start my fire. Don't let anybody mess with me. I just got to burn my fire. I'm not trying to hassle anybody. I just zoom, 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 zoom. That's what Aries are like. Go, 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 go. No red light, no brakes, no mirror. Just go. They're not trying to be rude. They just got to go. Well, then you've got Earth. Earth, here comes Taurus. Embryonic. Taurus is very much, if you saw the latest movie, The Hobbit, they come to Bilbo in the Hobbit hole, Gandalf, says, well, we got an adventure for you. And the hobbit says, "Ha, I don't want any adventure. Leave me alone. I got my pipe, I got my fireplace, I got my garden. I'm not going anywhere." So Taurus is very rooted, which is a beautiful
right.
thing, which is how we get rooted. Then the Gemini comes, which is a complete opposite, which is air, and air is mind, thought. And the last thing they want is to be rooted anywhere. They want to bounce around like a butterfly. And finally, the Cancer is the emotional one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that these first four are against evolving. They're all evolving like crazy. It's just that you can only handle so much at each stage. And the book takes each sign, shows how they're related to other signs, but yet how they're different. And by the time you get to Pisces, which is the final sign, the soul has overcome being a human. It's all about returning back to the one, the oneness.
Wow.
It's very,
wow.
very complex, and that's why the book is step by step explaining each sign, but not your sun sign.
Right.
That's where people get messed up.
Right. I've heard people say that actually your rising sign is more important, and maybe this is not a misunderstanding, but more important than your sun sign in some ways because it is more of an expression of your actual
no.
everyday personality. No. Okay.
I've heard that too. I've heard that too. And I think in some fields such as shamanic astrology, that may be true. But in Western tropical astrology, it's far from true. Your sun sign is your main thing. It's your heart. The rising sign means, or your ascendant, your ascending sign, means that when you were born, if somebody pointed to the east, what sign of the zodiac was rising there? That simply
uh-huh.
means your window, Jennifer. What?
Uh-huh.
How do you see that? You see the world. How does the world see you? For instance,
right.
My son is a Leo, but his rising sign is Capricorn. So when
uh-huh.
you meet him on the outside, he looks real serious, but on the inside, he's much more fiery and more confident. So that,
sure.
it's just a window to the soul.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But
awesome.
Your chart is made up of many, many factors, and it takes a very good astrologer to see it, keep it all balanced.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Very cool. So when did you start doing charts professionally, Rick?
About 1981, I started. I learned rather fast, and by 82, I was on the radio in a little small station near Wheeling, and that's where I really cut my teeth, because for about 28 months, I was on a little tiny station back when people were not very aware. And I was reading for people on Saturday mornings, and I learned the difference between the pure symbols in the chart and the reality that most people can really express. And,
uh-huh.
boy, I learned so much, because in those days I thought when I made a mistake I was wrong, and I would beat myself up, and what's wrong? You can't see this. But that's how you learn. You
right.
put it out there, and you say what you got to
right.
say, and what I found out later was that a lot of times I was describing an archetype, and the person would say no. Then I would talk about it some more and go, yeah. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
I might be using the word, I'm doing a reading for you, and I might be using the word thrifty. Boy, you're really
mm-hmm.
thrifty. And you might have an idea in your mind. You don't like that word, and you just keep telling me, no, it's not thrifty, it's not. And so I'm looking at my symbols, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm really off base. But I've learned, don't listen to the person second, primarily. You listen to the chart. The chart is always
mm-hmm.
right. Because people are
mm-hmm.
listening to their own bias. But after
right.
a while, I talk to the person, she starts using a word called careful. I say, oh,
right.
okay. I said, well, then
right.
you could be careful with your money. And they say, yeah, well, I was right all along. It's just,
right.
Right, you know what I mean?
That way.
I'm sure in your business, I'm sure you do the same thing.
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
And then you end up seeing that you're really saying, people really have reactions to certain words.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be very careful.
Right.
Boy, don't
well, I always think of that in terms of
I have them right to me now. I have them right to me now about some word I sent to them 15 years ago.
Yeah, I always think of that in terms of the complexes. Like, they have a complex energy around a certain word, and so it's a trigger for them, and then you have to find another word that doesn't have that reaction.
But I teach my students. What happened to the students before is they start to be wrong, they get discouraged, and they quit. Now I teach my students, don't give up. Say what you got to say. If they say no, put it on the back burner, come back to it with a different word. And usually they're right, because you wouldn't believe how, if I did a reading for you right now, I mean, the planets symbolize your very structure. They just do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got started, and once you start decoding this, I mean, you got to have a propensity for it, there's no doubt, and I do think I work through some guide or some guide works through me. I don't know anybody's name or anything like that. I feel their presence, but I don't get far out with it. I try to help people. My job is to send you home in touch with your own higher self. I can do that. I've done my job.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I guess I want to ask you, like, what are some of the more interesting charts that you've done, or have you ever done a chart and gone, oh my gosh. I mean,
oh my God, yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Share that.
The most amazing chart I ever saw was the famous karate. What's his name? The famous Bruce Lee. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
And what about it?
Oh, it's just so powerful. Well, he died when he was 32, I think. It was just a powerhouse. I mean, if there was anybody in this world you did not want to fight, it was Bruce Lee. And his chart was just, I mean, it was just this absolute powerhouse. Now, on a flip-flop, one of the worst charts I've ever seen is Ann Coulter.
She has
her five personal planets all in Sagittarius, which means blunt, and say anything you want to anybody, and never mind how it affects them. If you think it's true, then you ought to be able to say it. Plus, it's agitated by Pluto and Saturn, and it's just flat out cruel, I think. So they're two extremes. Another chart I've been marveling at recently, unbelievable, was Da Vinci's.
Uh-huh.
Da Vinci was just, it will fool you. It's a very simple little chart. But when you look deeper at the intricacies, you see why this man was just nonstop brilliance. He was just unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
So there are thousands of great charts.
Awesome, awesome, very cool. So for folks who don't understand the idea between mutable, cardinal, and fixed, I always know that I get a little confused between cardinal and fixed. I know I understand mutable, but if somebody has a lot of that kind of energy in their chart, those kinds of energies, what do those things mean?
Well, the Aries, Cancer, every fourth sign, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, those are your cardinal signs. Those are the signs in general that start me up like the Rolling Stones, that's all. They have generators, they make things move. You don't have to get an alarm clock. They get off their butt, they make things happen. The next group are the fixed group. You can see the beauty and the exquisiteness of the zodiac. That's the Tauruses, Leos, Scorpios, and Aquarians. They are fixed, which means focus, give energy, organize, compact it. And they take the energy that started by the cardinals and they concentrate it and they make it have meaning. These people are good researchers. They're good organizers. They're not really good starters. They're not really good followers, but they're really good to put in the back room at a desk to get, work this thing out, make it take shape. Then you have your final group, which is beautiful because you see the beauty of the zodiac. This is the first chapter in the book, by the way, which is your mutables, which is Gemini, Virgo, Sag, and Pisces. And they are not happy unless they're giving energy. So what started by the generators, what's fixed and concentrated, now has to be distributed. I got to give it out. I can't keep it in. I got to exchange it. So those signs really need to give the element that they have away. And there's just the very beginning part of your zodiac. And the reason the zodiac's the way it is because you now have four of each, that's the number three, and then you have you have fire, earth, water, and fire. So you have three of each, and then you have four times three, and you have 12 unique pairs, and that's why the zodiac has 12 signs, period.
Because
it's four times three.
And so with the elements,
so the books,
what would you say?
The book starts with those two. Those two things, the signs and the fixed and all that, and then it goes into each sign and explains why each one grows as it grows.
Awesome. And so with the elements, what would you say about the elements? Like, I have no air in my chart, none.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because you can pick up air in many other ways.
Okay.
You wouldn't be quote on the air if you didn't have any air.
Okay. Well, I just
air means. Go ahead.
I know for myself that when I realized I didn't have any air and I wasn't much of a doer and I knew I needed to get out there more and do more things in my life that were active, I worked on catalyzing the air energy or that experience,
yeah.
And it shifted
right.
Something for me. A lot,
well,
but I wonder.
You've got great air. Or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. So you may have planets in the third. You may have planets in the third house of Gemini, which gives it to you. You may have a strong connection to the planet Uranus, which gives you a lot of air. So it's not what people think. Air is ability to think and communicate.
Right. Okay.
Is what it means.
Okay. So in the chart, when you look at the whole thing, and it says that there's a lack of something, it doesn't necessarily mean that? Okay.
I don't pay any attention to that because I look at the interplay between how all the... I'm looking at X's and planets forming triangles and planets forming right angles. I'm looking at a complex pattern. And after you do it enough times, you can look at a chart and read it within a few seconds, really.
Okay, awesome. Very cool. Huh. So I guess we've got about 15 more minutes, and I want you to be able to share anything that you want to share about your experience with being an astrologer, writing this book. So I guess I'm going to open it up a little and ask you, like, what it is you would want the listening audience to know about your experience, about your journey, and about doing astrology or learning it or what have you.
Well, oh, my God, is that a big subject. Well, first of all, I want people to know that astrology needs to come off the comic page in the newspaper.
Yes.
And that they're way, way, way over-identifying with their sun sign. And they need to read our book or read one like it that really explains what the signs are like. And they need to get their chart done. And I really caution them about getting chart readings on the computer services on the Internet, even though they're getting better. You can't replace a good astrologer, but you should know where your moon is and where your Mercury and Venus. And you can go to astro.com for free and type in your birthday and put in your birth time, and you get a list of where your planets are. And it's going to be Greek to you, but through time you start reading about your Venus and your Mars and Jupiter, you'll start to see why your qualities are the way they are. You need to be very careful at first, because you can really scare yourself in the beginning. You think, oh, my God, here comes a curse. Oh, here comes a planet. It's going to kill me. You know, that's very normal for a beginner. So people are, I'm telling you, you're much less of an individual than you think you are. Your chart really indicates what your archetypal seed looks like. And what we do is we are keepers of a calendar. We know when you should be going through XYZ, when you should be hitting a fork in the road, I can't tell you to go left or right, But I know what's left and I know what's right, but that's where your free will comes in. So this is all building up to our next book, which will be called The Intimate Zodiac. And we're going to be citing many, many stories of how intimate these planets are, how closely they affect you. And you think these thoughts are yours? And you come up with this idea and you say, like last night I wrote down a thought that came to me. Well, that wasn't mine. It came to me. That's literally coming from the God source. And if you learn anything, Jennifer, you learn about the oneness. That's what it's about.
Right. Absolutely. I think of it in terms of being a channel for something. Like it just comes through you. It isn't of you.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's why we're going to talk about intimacy. But we have a lot of nemesis. You know, we have so many daily astrologers and people that don't even check to see the validity of these astrologers. And it's become an ego thing. What does my horoscope say today? Well, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, really.
It's really funny because I used to read my horoscope daily when I was in school, and I was never very interested in what my actual horoscope was, but I was interested in the aspects for everyone because I was so curious to see if there was an energy that was carried collectively, which was way more interesting to me than what I would do in a day.
Well, see, with you having a Leo sun and a moon in Aries, those don't agree at all.
I know.
But the fact is, you probably have a very strong Neptune or a very strong Pluto aspect, which connects you to the collective, or else you wouldn't be interested. And if I were to do your chart right now, I would tell you all that, but you would have to tell everybody how old you are.
Right. Well, I could tell you that.
That's the advantage. In astrology, people have to tell me how old they are. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
you see
what I'm saying? You have Aries quality, you have Leo quality, but you have these outer. Aries and Leo are very personal energies. The bottom half of the zodiac, the bottom half is very personal, self-oriented. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo. The top half of the zodiac is other-oriented, whether you get a lot of your enhancement through others or through the world itself. So the optimal chart has a blend of both. Sometimes you meet people who have so much outer energy that they're so brilliant, but they're in a corner talking to the closet. You know, they're so brilliant, but they just can't channel it. Can't change.
Right. And it's all for someone else or something else that isn't. My rising is Pisces, so that's
okay. See, now the fact that Pisces is rising gives you a lot of water, and it slows that fire down in you, because fire is really good, but the negative side, or as Jung would call it, the shadow side.
Mm-hmm.
You burn people, you burn yourself, you are experienced as too impatient sometimes, or too fiery, or you want to stop talking, let's start doing. I mean, that's the problem with having
so much
fire.
I won't stop doing.
Yeah.
Like,
the Pisces wants to just,
The
Pisces wants to just lay back. You know,
all I have to do is thank God for the Pisces. That's all I have to say.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think you got a whole
lot more than just the Pisces going on.
Yeah.
You probably have a very strong Neptune. And when you have strong Neptune, that makes you put your head and your mind towards the cosmos, towards your source. If you have Pluto real strong, then you are bent towards the psychology and what's going on behind, with Persephone down in the depths.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Uranus real strong, then you're busy inventing things and you're excited. You probably have a very strong Neptune and a strong Pluto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably likely. I don't have my chart in front of me, but that all fits with what you're saying for sure.
Well, maybe if you want to someday, we can do your chart on the show if you like. I won't mention the dates, but I can just talk about the pieces of your chart, show how
that'd
reading
be
is done.
I'd love that.
Well, that would be great.
That
and
would
I would
awesome.
Go back
Let's
through.
Do it.
I would ask you what happened at certain ages. I would ask you why things happened here and there, why you thought it was this, but it was really that. You know, I mean,
wow.
We can get into.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Well, just send me your Facebook info, and we'll work it up, including your birth time and city, and that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we did
really
recently,
cool.
We recently sent a letter, a very sincere letter, to Oprah Winfrey, and we wanted. I want to do her chart live on the air for an hour and show people what her chart is like, because her chart is just unbelievable. But
is
she
it?
Had to work for it. It was not a piece
right.
of cake. But
right.
I would like to show people how a chart represents a personality that most of us know. And people's minds would just go, wow. You know, because
oh,
you
wow.
don't have any idea how much a chart resembles you.
Yeah. Has she responded to you, or when did you
no,
send that?
No, her crew of 7,000 people that read letters didn't respond.
Right. Well, maybe just set your intention, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe
it'll happen someday, but I would love to do it. Just to show people that when you get a really good chart reading, you will
mm-hmm.
sit there with your mouth open for a couple hours. You will.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I have that experience almost every day in my office, and I have to stop the reading before I go too far because people get their minds blown and you just can't unseat the consciousness too quickly. You know that. Stir it up a little bit with
you
the major
stop.
Pillars.
Yeah, slow down.
And then you stop and let it sink in. That's right.
Yeah.
And
or
then
notice
I send them home with,
what not to say, how far to go.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I send them home with a tape recording, and they listen to it for a couple of weeks, and they go, oh, wow, I heard so much more. But the thing I've learned, Jennifer, is people have a very negative view of themselves. People are very, very affected by what their parents did to them in many, most cases.
Yeah.
I won't even say 1 out of 3. I will say 1 out of 2. 1 out of 2 women in my office have been abused.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right, because it used to be 1 out of 4, then 1 out of 3. And it's so common, it's just so sad. But anyhow, these people have these soul experiences they need. When you get a reading, you go home with a different view of yourself. That's not because I'm the firstborn, not because I'm Irish or German. It's because of where my planets were. And if I can send them home with a different view of themselves, the other thing I do is I confirm you. Because most people, they know what they want to do. They just need a little bit of a push or a little bit of a okay signal.
Yeah.
You know how many times people come to you and they want permission from somebody so they can be themselves.
Absolutely.
So I grant them permission with my invisible frankincense.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, and then they go home and it's the beginning of something new. It's always the beginning of a new launching. So one thing I do want to tell you is while Uranus is in the brand new sign of Aries since the last 3 years, if it weren't for Pluto, we're going through a tremendous revolution now, a brand new beginning. There are people, and this is being spiked every couple of months, which is explained in my current newsletter. People are going through, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not stopping anymore. I'm not holding back anymore. I'm sorry you don't like it, but I really don't intend to hurt you. But I've got to do it my way. I've got to do my thing. That's going like crazy. It's going like crazy. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And what I was watching Charlie Rose last night and talking so much about the Middle East and how so many of those people are just fed up with all this old stuff. And they just want a free life where they can take care of their family. And they know there are things bad about the West, but they want some of the some of the freedoms of the West too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think people are looking for integration. They're looking for a balancing between, you know, the outer stuff and moving away from what the culture is telling them to do. I have people all the time who are saying, you know, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I'm not going to do this. I want to do something different.
Well,
so there is a different kind of fervency in the culture at large.
People are just desperate right now to find out their
yeah.
life path. When I do
yeah.
lectures on life direction, my God, it's so crowded. But you know what I found is 70% of those people that give me their birth data, they cannot figure out their life direction at that
right.
moment because they got too many blockages. They got to get
right.
rid of their blockage first. The other 30%,
right, exactly.
they don't have the blockage, and they can get on their path rather easy. And most people, here's what's happening. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, people didn't want to go do, they all want to become healers. Everybody wants to be a healer now.
Right.
That's what the planners are saying. But 2 years ago, they wouldn't do it because they didn't want to lose their insurance and their job and their pseudo-stability, their pseudo-safety.
Right.
Now, they don't care anymore. Now, they don't care.
Right.
They're getting with
yeah.
their bliss, just like Joseph Campbell said. And they're throwing
yes.
caution to the wind, and they're picking up faith in God. And I imagine, just tell the people what's happened to you since you got your radio show. I mean, it's
yes.
amazing once you start to express yourself, what happens?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, the journey of doing this show has been
yeah.
Unfathomable. The kind of people I've met and contacts I've
yeah.
made, and
but there's nothing you there's none of what's happening you could have preconceived. You had to do
no.
it. You had to get your foot
no.
in the water first.
Absolutely. And if I tried
that's,
to preconceive it, I would have limited it.
That's right. And that's why so many people come to me, and they don't want to start up the mountain until
mm-hmm.
they know what's on step number 2 and 3.
Right.
They stand there
right.
on step 1. And you just can't do it. You just got to start
right.
moving. And
yes,
boy,
absolutely.
This is the thing I will give your audience at the end. Once you start moving, even a little step,
yep.
and you show the planets that you're willing, these,
yep.
this is what you don't read in astrology, and it's so true. The planets are ready to support you. They will bring
yes.
off the wall money and support and
yes.
magazines. And
yeah.
They just
absolutely.
Will, but you got to start moving. And if you're going to
yes.
sit around and worry about where this step's, what's it, Bob? I'm not going. But step 99 might be bad. And I'll get
right.
all the way to 98. So I'm not going till I get an affidavit signed and triplicate. So
right, right.
Instead of jumping from 98 to 100, they're done.
Yes.
But that's
yes.
the problem where people get mentally frozen. You have to start moving.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was just wonderful. I think people learned a lot, and just your perspective on it is just wonderful. I can't wait to get the book, and I encourage everyone else out there to get it too and to start connecting with these archetypes, you know, these different parts of ourselves. So thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, and they can get the book at theexquisitezodiac.com. Or on Amazon, and I look forward someday. Let's do your chart. We'll
let's
keep secret your birthday, but we'll do it without embarrassing you, I promise.
Beautiful.
And we'll just do it to show you how these pieces work. And thank you so
we'll
much for bringing me to your audience. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Have a great evening. Take care now.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
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 Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, connect with magic in your world. That is what we're here for. Take good care, everybody. Bye now.